This is the Sweet Spot, where we take a closer look at the week's biggest sports stories in Arizona. I'm Brandon Tran, and welcome to yet another dose of weekly sports stories from across the valley. On today's show, we're going to look at some of the similarities and difference between the 2023 and 2001 Diamondbacks World Series team, as well as how sports cars businesses have benefited from this year's World Series matchups. We also have a mid-season update on the Arizona Cardinals, an overview of the dominance of Centennial football, and a recap of the first ever AIA-organized Sanctioned Girls Flag Football Playoffs. The Arizona Diamondbacks are in the World Series. That means the making of history, which allows us to go back in time and see what history is telling us. Ben Yates and Austin Apola got to discuss the similarities, strange occurrence, and superstition that could lead to a World Series championship for the D-backs.
That was the live reaction right outside of Chase Field after Game 7 when Corbin Carroll made the game-winning catch to send the D-backs to the World Series. This is the World Series preview special for the Sweet Spot. I'm Benjamin Yates. Alongside me here is Austin Hipola.
Today we'll be discussing the Diamondbacks' trip to this World Series and the World Series in 2001. See what absurd stats or coincidences have happened to allow the previous champions to be crowned, and everything fans may want to know going into the Fall Classic.
Yeah, Austin, and I just want to start out with one of my favorite stats I got to read up on. The World Series schedule has the exact same date scheduled for each game as they did back in 2001, when the D-backs were last in the World Series.
Wow, yeah, that is definitely interesting. Already starting off with the exact calendar dates, starting on October 27th and potentially ending November 4th for Game 7. I also found out that Phoenix is now the fifth city ever to host both the Super Bowl and the World Series in the same calendar year. And the last city to do it was Houston, with the Astros infamously beating the Dodgers in 2017.
Yeah, and before that was Arlington, Texas, where the Rangers were beat by the St. Louis Cardinals in 2011. In fact, the other two cities who host the Super Bowl would end up losing the World Series.
Yikes. Well, it definitely doesn't look like you want the Super Bowl in your city before the Fall Classic arrives, Ben.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently you also don't want to be a Milwaukee Brewers fan for this next step, because every team that has beat the Brewers in the postseason went on to play in the World Series, including the D-backs this year.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, there were 8 teams that have before the Diamondbacks did it this year. 6 of those teams would win the series, while the 1981 Yankees and 2018 Dodgers would be the unfortunate ones to not be able to raise a banner after beating the Brewers.
Yeah, it's not good being a Brewers fan for that statistic, but I also wouldn't want to be a bird for this next one.
No, not the bird. The one that Randy Johnson hit in spring training that one season?
Oh, yeah. That spring training game was in 2001 preseason for the year the D-backs would win the World Series. Funny enough, Zach Gallen hit a bird during the season, too, during a pregame practice in May. Gallen and Johnson are the only two pitchers in MLB history to strike and kill a bird with a pitch, both on a Diamondbacks roster that headed to the World Series later that same year.
Okay, now that is just absurd. It's almost scary how that lines up as a coincidence. And this next set is pretty interesting, as it both pertains to the D-backs and the Rangers, as both teams have had over 100 losses in the 2021 MLB season, and 2 years later, they're here in the World Series.
Yeah, and in fact, the Rangers are the oldest franchise to still not win a World Series. Last time they were here was in 2011.
And then there's a statistic going for the Diamondbacks. They were underdogs in every single game in the postseason, even in Game 3 of the NLDS where they swept the Dodgers. And now in the World Series, the Rangers are favored as the home team in Game 1.
That is interesting, but there's also the fact that the Diamondbacks are also the second team in MLB history to make the World Series after having a negative run differential in the regular season. The only other team to do this was in 1987, the World Series champion Minnesota Twins. It was actually the first World Series played in an indoor stadium.
As we know, Chase Field to also be an indoor stadium, the Rangers also play in an indoor stadium as well. As long as neither roof is open, this would be the first ever all-indoor stadium Fall Classic.
Phew! Well, that is a lot to take in, but no matter what history has told us, it's up to the Diamondbacks now to finish the job.
Both teams have a similar way of getting here, from the wild card to the World Series. The Commissioner's Trophy is up for grabs, and it's anyone's game from this point on.
For the sweet spot, I'm Benjamin Yates.
And I'm Austin Hepple.
The Diamondbacks are set to square off against the Texas Rangers in the World Series as the MLB postseason is near its end. With the deep postseason runs some team has made, the sports cards of the players on those teams has gone up in values. Alex Genevieve made his way to local sports card shop to find out why cards rise in value as the season goes on.
Seawall to strike away. Here he comes.
The MLB playoffs have been going on for a little over 3 weeks.
He's got it! And the Arizona Diamondbacks are headed to the World Series!
Trading cards have been around for nearly 150 years, connecting people and fans with their favorite teams and players. And the playoffs have been good for people trying to cash in on those cards. According to multiple trading card sites, Diamondbacks players such as Gabby Moreno and Alec Thomas have seen their trading cards spike. Moreno's 2020 Bowman Chrome Prospect Autograph card went from $60 last month to $145 today. And Thomas's 2022 Topps Chrome Update Autograph card went from $10 last month to $30 right now.
Stenick's 1-1 is thrilled on a line, left field, and gone! Adolis Garcia makes his statement, and the Rangers have their sights set on Game 7.
But it's not just D-backs players who are seeing their cards leap. ALCS MVP Adolis Garcia has seen a massive jump in value, as he led the Rangers to their second World Series appearance in their history. And his Topps Chrome rookie autograph card has jumped up from selling around $20 to $30 a month ago, closer to $65 to $85 present day. Rangers third baseman Josh Jung has seen his 2023 Topps Chrome Purple Speckle Refractor card jump up nearly 75% from last month. James Torres with Rip Valley.
I mean, if you look at the grand scheme of things, these guys are going to go on to have, you know, hopefully 10-year-plus careers. I mean, they're really just getting started.
Regardless of a World Series appearance, there's little doubt that postseason appearances have been good for the value of the players' trading cards, and for those who are fortunate enough to buy the cards at the beginning of the season. For Cronkite News, I'm Alex Chenevy.
The Arizona Cardinals suffer a tough loss to the Seattle Seahawks this past Sunday, which now puts them at a record of 1-6. With the NFL approaching the halfway point of the 2023 season, question and concern continue to arise for the team with each passing week. Cronkite Sports' Austin Hepple reports from the Cardinals facility in Tempe to find out where the team's mentally is at, as well as look ahead at some positive the fan base can keep an eye on going forward.
It was never going to be an easy 2023 for the Arizona Cardinals. The franchise underwent a complete overhaul this past offseason, including hiring a first-time GM and head coach to help lead the organization into a new era. While their 1-6 record isn't attractive at face value, the team continues to play hard despite being outmatched late in games. The frustration is real within the locker room, but the thought of giving up isn't even in discussion under the regime of head coach Jonathan Gannon.
Ain't nobody throwing a towel in. You know, even though we 1-6, we still like what we got in the locker room. I know it might sound, you know, crazy to you guys, but I don't feel no type of way where it's like guys don't want to be here or don't want to play.
Starting linebacker and team captain Kaiser White is keeping his head up high, despite the unideal start to the season.
It's frustrating, but you know, we still got 10 weeks left for sure. You know, the season ain't over. What if we go on a 10-game win streak, then what?
That optimism may not be shared by the Cardinals fan base at the moment, and with good reason. The team has stayed competitive early in most of their games, but has been outscored 104-30 in the second half of its games this season. Adding to that, since the start of the 2022 season, the Cardinals boast a 2-10 record at home. So what can fans of a 1-6 team with minimal expectations sink their teeth into for the rest of this season? As for the rest of 2023 alone, there isn't much, aside from the return of franchise quarterback Kyler Murray in the coming weeks. While Murray's return could make for an exciting moment, the team still lacks overall talent and will most likely project to hold a bottom 5 record in the NFL. Now, obviously, no fan of any sports team enjoys seeing their team lose. With that being said, Cardinals fans should be pleased with the effort that players have given to Coach Gannon. Even with the losses piling up, that has been the one positive consistent with the team, according to the first-year head coach.
Our attitude and effort and hitting. I think our hitting's there, our effort's there. The fight's always there. We got to fight a little bit better. And that's talking to all of us.
The Cardinals are projected to have 12 picks in the 2024 draft, headlined by owning two first-round selections, their own and the Houston Texans. The franchise is projected to have over $50 million in cap space for 2024 as well, giving them a good chunk of change to bolster the team through free agency. Under new GM Monty Austinfort, the Cardinals have built up a bank of draft picks and salary savings. The team is currently going through dark days, but despite those tough times, management is planning for what could be one of the most important off-seasons in the franchise's history. From Cronkite Sports in Tempe, Austin Hepola reporting.
The latest rankings on Max Preps has Centennial in the top 25 for the first time since 2018. The Coyotes are ranked 23rd nationally. Centennial and Liberty are the only Arizona high school teams in Arizona in the top 25. I went to Centennial High School to talk about their success. The Centennial Coyotes are 8-0. That's the best start since winning back-to-back state titles in 2017 and 18. Centennial head coach Richard Taylor, who's been at the school since it opened in 1990, has led the Coyotes to 7 state titles.
We've been fortunate, and I would say I didn't do any of that. You know, I didn't make any tackles or score any touchdowns. It's our kids. We have kids that listen and kids that work hard.
One of the hardest working players leading Centennial is senior edge rusher and wide receiver Noah Carter, who plays both sides of the ball. Carter, who is committed to Washington, is leading the teams with 7 sacks and 17 receptions.
Work with my team every day, you know, that's just the big part. Just keep working, just keep your head down and just keep working. I've been here all 4 years, so it's very good to play with my brothers.
Centennial's success isn't about defense. Leading the offensive line is senior right tackle Bray Bakke, who was committed to Northern Arizona.
We have a really good group of leaders who keep our guys all in check and all of us kind of together as a team. Every week and every day, we're excited to, you know, go out and practice and get better. And it's just been a real good kind of team thing that we have going on.
With Centennial coming off a 56-14 win over Chaparral, the team will look to build on that momentum and get the top seed in open division. The Coyotes has 2 tough road games coming up against Pinnacle and Liberty. For Cronkite Sports in Peoria, I'm Brandon Tran reporting. This past Tuesday was a historic moment for Arizona sports. Yes, the Diamondbacks advanced to the World Series, but Tuesday was also the start of the first ever AIA-affiliated girls flag football playoffs. Ben Yates was at Central High School covering the match between the 7-seed Xavier Prep Gators and 10-seed Mountain Point Pride.
History was indeed in the making this past Tuesday, as girls flag football is here, and the teams were set for the first ever playoffs for the sport in Arizona. Girls like Mac Weston found this to be an incredible opportunity for themselves and for the future of women's sports.
It's like really cool, and it's like very like heartwarming because I played flag football when I was younger, and I always wanted to play, and then when I found out that Xavier started it, I immediately wanted to join the team, and I couldn't play last year, but I played this year. And it's just like such a good thing for girls to do, and now that it's also in the Olympics, like girls are just getting open very many opportunities.
This matchup was between the 7-seed Xavier Gators and 10-seed Mountain Point Pride. Earlier in the season, the Pride would have the upper hand in their first matchup together, with a 12-0 victory over the Gators. This game was momentous to these girls, as they understood the weight that was on their shoulders going into this historic night. Gators sophomore quarterback Hannah Roos was relishing in the moment.
I think it's great. I think all the teams, especially Mountain Point, is a part of like history in the like flag football.
The Pride got their first points of the game on a long throw by freshman quarterback Amaya Moreno to go into the first half with a 6-0 lead. But coming into the third quarter, no one was able to score. Much like most of the first half, the game was a defensive battle, as both sides were forcing the quarterbacks to throw the long ball. Luckily for the Gators' sophomore quarterback, Hannah Roos, she could throw it far, getting it into the hands of senior receiver Mack Weston to get a touchdown, which helped Gators take the lead with 10 minutes to go, 7-6. But after a defensive stop by Xavier, the Gators got the ball again with 5 minutes left and scored again. That would seal the game in favor of the girls from Xavier and eliminate the Pride of Mountain Point. Pride head coach Sergio Ramirez saw the upside for his team. While they may have lost, there was a much larger goal in mind.
Seeing the community and the atmosphere for girls flag football to finally be here is a win for us. We love it that the sport is here and official. That's the main takeaway, is that we have the opportunity to play.
The Pride started their season in the Arizona Cardinals Game of the Week at the Nike Kickoff Classic, which is considered to be the very first AIA-organized flag football game in Arizona. Amaya Moreno, while a freshman, was a leader on this team.
I'm feeling really hurt right now, to be honest, but all we could do from now on, we can't focus on the past. We got to keep on working this offseason. Can't let anyone outwork us this time. And we got to be ready for this next season. And we got to leave it on the field the next 3 years.
We'll move on to the next round of the playoffs and face the Red Mountain Mountain Lions, the 2 seed in the 6A bracket, who just defeated the 15 seed Mesa Jackrabbits. For the Sweet Spot, I'm Benjamin Yates.
And this was The Sweet Spot. This show was produced by Austin Herpola. Special thanks to Austin, Alex, and Ben for their contribution to this week's show. I'm your host, Brandon Tran. Until next time, thanks for swinging by The Sweet Spot.